Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to return this evening to a text that I gave just a tip of the hat to this morning, but it really deserves a little more attention. I think it's important to us at this time in the life of our church, and it's just a great text for us to touch base with from time to time. Remember this morning, we talked about in moving together and making transition, especially we as individuals and we as a body, as the people of God, want to be mindful of the importance of memory and worship and mission. In fact, as you pray for our church here in this time of transition as we move into the worship center, let that guide your prayer. Pray about memory and worship and mission. And the text that talks about the importance of memory is Hebrews chapter 13. You may not realize this, but the word remember is one of the most important words in the Bible. Remember. It's used over 250 times. The Bible is always challenging us to remember, to remember, to remember. It's in many ways what feeds our faith. Our faith in the Lord comes from our memory, personal and corporate, our memory of His faithfulness in the past. And as we consider Him to be faithful, we stand in faith in the present and in the future. So remembering is important. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, comes at the kind of the final exhortation at the end of this book. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament that reads like a sermon more than any other book. It's really as much a sermon as a letter. And the point of the sermon is, don't quit the race. Finish the race that our Lord Jesus has set before you. And as he wraps this up, the author of Hebrews challenges us to remember as a means to be encouraged to finish. I mentioned verse 7 and 8 this morning. I want to read them together this evening. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result, the end, the outcome of their faith, of their conduct, their conversation, their way of life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first commandment here is remember those who led you. The word led is just kind of a general word that means to lead. The King James uses the word to rule over, those who rule over you. Probably leadership is a better way for us to hear this word. It's a word, interestingly enough, that's used three times in chapter 13. And since I know I can tell you're fascinated by it, let's go ahead and look at the other two. The same word is used in verse 17, where Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And then verse 24. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. And in verse 7, remember those who led you. Leaders. Not referring so much to a specific office. And by the way, I think in verse 7, the plural is important. The commandment is not remember a leader, but remember those who led you. And most of you in this room have lived long enough to know why that's important, right? That we don't want to build our idea of what it means to be faithful in Christ Jesus on the performance or the faithfulness of one person. But remember those who led you. All of those who together have informed and help to build up your faith in Christ Jesus, who spoke the word of God to you. That's the key to kingdom leadership. It's a key to influencing people over the long haul. Remember, Jesus teaches us that the seed is the word of God. And any ministry we have in the lives of people that has a hope of bearing lasting fruit ought to be a ministry of the word. It doesn't mean that you have to be preaching or even formally teaching a class, but it does mean that the way you're influencing others should be grounded in the truth of God's word. You're teaching the word of God to them. Spiritual leadership. It's very important, very necessary. You know, long after many of these children forget how to play the handbells, they're going to remember Mr. Pybus. Isn't that how it works? And what they're going to remember is his display of what it means to be a Christ-like man of God. And even though he's teaching the handbells, he's not giving them a lesson from the scripture, he's speaking the word of God to them week by week. And this is the type of influence that the book of Hebrews is calling us to remember. Now, there's a second commandment here that helps us to understand that what the Bible's describing here is not sitting in an easy chair with an album and reflecting on the past. But this is a more intentional kind of memory. The text actually challenges us to remember and to imitate, right? So the reason we remember those who led us and taught the Word of God to us is so that we would be inspired, so we could be informed, but primarily so that we could imitate their faith. Now again, you see the wisdom of the text? That the word of God here is more specific than simply saying imitate them. Imitate their faith. That's important. Not imitate their personality. Not necessarily imitate their methods. Imitate their faith. And you know that in the New Testament, the word faith is used in two different ways. Sometimes the word faith is used objectively. An established set of doctrine. The things they believed. The truth they declared. Imitate the faith once for all delivered to you by the saints, right? Their faith. And other times the word faith is used subjectively to talk about their personal devotion, their deep and abiding commitment to Christ, their faith in Christ. It's not clear which direction this concept is moving, and when that's the case, when I read the Bible, I like to move both directions, right? Imitate their faith, what they believed, and the manner in which they held firm to their convictions. Imitate their faith. So remember those who led you. It's a great exercise. Again, the commandment assumes this reality that we are a forgetful people. We move on and our minds get cluttered. We forget who it was that taught us the things that we know. And we do well to intentionally exercise our memory. Think about who it was that influenced you when you were the age of these children. Think about who was influencing when you were a teenager, like these graduates coming out of high school that we celebrated this morning. Think about those who influenced you when you were young and married, brought you in to the ministry of the church, early teachers or pastors, parents or grandparents. There's a commandment to be careful to remember those who led you. It's very important in the Christian faith. It's important for the church. Also, we have to say when we read this text, not only remember those who led you, But for all of us, especially a kind of a Sunday night crowd like this, remember, you will be remembered. Right? If somebody's watching you. And I think there's an aspect of verse 7 that is that brings both a strong challenge, but it also there's a comfort in this. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. And notice the last part of verse 7. And considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Considering means think carefully. The results, that's a word that means the end, the long-term result of their conduct. That's the old, sometimes the King James uses the word conversation there. It's not just talking about our words, but our whole way of life. As you remember those who taught you, who led you, who taught the word of God to you, step back and consider the big picture. The long-term results of their way of life. And you see how that's a comfort? Some of us here have made mistakes. We've failed to exercise proper influence. We've disappointed. We've not been the example we need to be. And the old devil, the accuser of the brethren, has a tendency to try to convince us, well, we've lost our influence totally. But this text gives us hope in that regard, doesn't it? Not so much consider every detail of their life, pick them apart, but consider the end of their way of life, the whole. And of course, that's a challenge to us all, isn't it, also? It doesn't matter how well you start if you don't finish so well, right? Make sure that the end result of your way of life leaves those who come behind you something worthwhile to remember. As the book of Hebrews says, be faithful to the finish. So remember those who led you, and remember that you will be remembered. But you see the connection here between verse 7 and 8. Remember Jesus. The author of Hebrews is uncomfortable leaving us to focus on other people. Remember, this is the same book that tells us just a chapter earlier, in chapter 12, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And so he's not comfortable leaving verse 7 without shifting our attention back to Jesus. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Barclay, in his great little commentary on Hebrews, titles this his section on verse 7 and 8, The Leaders and the Leader. And that is what the text is doing here. Remember leaders, but keep your eyes focused on the leader, Jesus. Human leaders disappoint us. And even the best human leader, even the best of them have this in common. They die. Right? They're not always going to be here with us. And so the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He abides. He stays. We can count on Him. He is the leader who speaks the Word of God to us and who is our great example to follow. Let me show you something very quickly as we think of Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. In some ways, I think the book of Hebrews here is pointing back across the pages of this entire book. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. can hear those pages turning. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Jesus praying, interceding in the days of his flesh. It's a look to the past, isn't it, to yesterday? Well, keep your page open there and look up above at chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. In the past, he was interceding. In the present, he is interceding. And turn the page to chapter 7, verse 23. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preachers and leaders, they all die. Can we acknowledge this fact? That it's been between 35 and 40 years since this building was built. And if it's another 35 and 40 years that we use the new worship center, I'll be dead. Maybe not. I might be singing with the Silvertones. Julie will most certainly still be here, but I'm not sure about me. People change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It's a beautiful little nugget from Scripture, I think, that helps us to understand the assumption that we as believers should make about our work. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, part 1, and the book of Acts, part 2. Luke says, the first account I composed, that's the Gospel of Luke, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now look at Luke's assumption that the life of Christ from his birth through his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, that's what he began to do. And now, what's he writing? A second account of what Jesus continues to do in and through his church. And so our assumption is that Jesus Christ continues to make intercession. He continues to lead. He continues to protect and bless and empower. He continues to build his church. Leaders come and go. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the affirmation of Scripture. I had a conversation with a man I didn't know very well, and we were talking about Jesus. And he claims to have faith in Christ, but he kept using a word that bugged me. He kept referring to Jesus with a past tense verb. Jesus was. Jesus was. Who was Jesus? Jesus was. And I didn't know him well enough, but I want to just reach up and shake him and say, he is. Right? That's our confession, isn't it? Not Jesus was, Lord. Our Christian confession, Jesus is Lord. He is, he was, he is to come. And so the children helped us tonight. They played Onward Christian Soldiers. All right? I mean, we couldn't find four people at First Baptist Pawhuska that could learn the words to Onward Christian Soldier. We've got a dozen here that can play it on the handbells. You know the words? Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Do you remember the next part? Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. And I was, he is. Right? And he's not removed to some corner of the universe watching us. He's the royal master who leads against the foe. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this gives us confidence as the people of God. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. We're going to have an invitation this evening. And during that invitation, we're going to sing all four verses of hymn number 493, Onward Christian Soldiers. And for many of you, the way you need to respond to God's Word and Spirit tonight is to sing this hymn, a declaration of your confidence in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, and who leads us into battle, who builds His church, who shepherds His flock. Some of you may need to come with a public response tonight, joining our church or receiving Christ as Savior. We'll be happy to help you with that commitment. Father, thank you for the way you speak to us through your word. Thank you for the children who led us in worship tonight. Thank you, Father, for each person gathered here. I pray that we'd be encouraged and built up through the truth of your word. I pray that you'd help us to remember those who've gone before us, who've led us and taught the word of God to us. I pray, Father, that we'd fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who leads us even now for His name's sake, His purpose, and His glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
All right, it's 493.